hear the voice.
Are you wandering in the wilderness? Or are you a voice in the wilderness? Welcome to the Revival Cry Podcast. This is your host, Eric Miller. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." The goal of this podcast is to encourage you to use the voice God has given you to make Jesus famous. Every week, we will share principles from the Word of God, interviews, and encouragement in order to strengthen your voice. Thank you for joining me today. And now here is today's podcast.
Let's welcome Kuya Eric Miller to share the Word of God.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. So I want to talk to you about hastening to God's will in season. Hastening to God's will in season. What does it mean to hasten? Well, the different Bible dictionaries and online dictionaries said this. It means to hurry, to act quickly, to press, to drive, to urge forward, to push on, to precipitate, to accelerate the movement, to expedite, to hurry, to move celerity, to be rapid in motion, to act speedily or quickly, to go quickly. You know, today I want to talk about how we are to fulfill the Lord's will together as a body. But I also believe you're going to receive principles today that you will receive personally to help you know how to fulfill God's will for your life. How many of you want to fulfill God's will for your life? Yes. Amen? So what does this sign stand for? Does anybody know? Pastor Armin? Who's it? It's Superman, right? It's Superman, the Man of Steel, right? You see how he's pulling open his shirt there? Whenever he does that, he's kind of covered up in the Clark Kent costume, right? All it is a closed shirt and glasses. I don't know why anybody never recognizes it's Superman. He looks the exact same. But what happens when it's time for him to turn into Superman, what does he do? He hurriedly, he quickly, he hastens the moment to rip open his shirt, and he has his Superman suit, which I think he couldn't wear that in the Philippines because it would be too hot. But maybe because he's the Man of Steel, the heat doesn't bother him so much. Some of you, we talked about Transformers last week. We're talking about Superman this week, okay? Some visitors are thinking, what is this church? You know, I don't know. No. Just examples. We don't believe in Transformers or Superman, okay? Praise God. Avengers. Avengers is next week, Pastor Buddy. Okay, yeah. What does he do? He rips off his shirt and he flies away and the music starts, dun dun dun, right? And he's going. And you're all sitting there with your popcorn all fired up. It's Superman, right? Maybe not you, but your neighbor is, I'm sure, okay? You know, when Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says to everything, say everything, there is a season. There's a purpose for under the sun. In every season of life, we need to be ready. We need to make sure that greater is He who is in us. We need to be in season with our relationship with God. Not just ready for ministry, but to be walking right with the Lord. The more that we do that, Then when ministry opportunities present themselves, when God needs us to show up, I'm not going to rip the shirt. I like the shirt, and it costs a lot of money. No, we got to come out of this fleshly shell and demonstrate the power of God. Amen? Leviticus 23:2. Does God believe in seasons? Yes, because he created them. In fact, he created an entire calendar. Leviticus 3:2, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." So in other words, you might as well say, this is my calendar. God has a calendar. And much of the church doesn't understand its Jewish roots of the faith. And because of that, we don't know the times and the seasons as well as we should. Because when we understand that we just celebrated Passover and Pentecost is coming, and then the high holy days in September, right? The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, all of these days. You might not know what all those mean right now, and that's fine. But I want you to know that God has a schedule. God has a calendar. God needs you and I to pay attention to where he is moving. He doesn't ask you and I to have our own calendar. He doesn't ask us to be on our own time. All of us in this room, everybody in the world, is limited by time. In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. He doesn't say it like this, preach the word, Timothy. No, there's an exclamation point. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to preach the word. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering in teaching. You see, as being a part of the church, it's so much more than just going to a building on Sunday. It means that we have to be sensitive to what the Lord is doing, not just in his overall calendar, but what he's doing in our daily life. If we're not listening to the word of God, if we're not meditating upon it, if we're not laboring in a place of prayer and downloading and listening to the voice of God, it's going to be hard for us to keep in the Spirit, to keep walking in the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. God wants you and I to walk in complete alignment with him. Last week at Fire School Chapel on Tuesdays, we do that from 8 a.m. to about 9:30, 10 a.m., which I want to open up to you. We only have a couple of weeks left before the end of this semester, that we have that chapel is open for people to come. We worship, we have different speakers, and it's always a time where the Lord moves. But I had a very strong word on Israel. Very strong word. I almost debated in sharing it here, but I felt like this is what the Lord would have me to share instead. And as I'm sharing on Israel, I'm always intense, okay? There's probably not a day that I'm not intense. But last chapel, I was intense, okay? And I knew it. And you know, we got the students who were looking at me like, what's going on with Eric, you know? And I just felt this anointing and unction. Listen, don't hang around preachers and teachers of the Word of God who don't feel what they're preaching. I'm not talking about that it has to be about emotions, but I'm saying God gave us emotions for a reason. And I'm not saying everybody has to be a loudmouth like me, but I am saying that if what you believe is real, if why if Muslims believe in something that we think is false, and they give their lives for it, how much more should we as the church, you know, right? Did you feel the mountains tremble? Fire, fire, you know, wind, rain, you know, praise God. No, I love it. If you don't sweat in church when you worship, something's wrong. While reading and preaching on my message was discerning the Passover, there's a couple verses that stood out to me. In Exodus 12:11, it says, "And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist," speaking of the Passover, right? "You shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste," hurriedly, quickly. It is the Lord's Passover. In the Amplified Version, it says, "Now you are to eat it in this manner. Be prepared for a journey." Say, a journey. "With your loins girded, that is, with the outer garment tucked into the band, your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand, you shall eat quickly. It is the Lord's Passover." A footnote for this verse, part of the meaning, especially about the word loins, says this. A variation of a phrase often found in the Bible that is an urgent call to get ready for immediate action or to prepare for a coming action or event. How many of you know Jesus is coming back? How many of you know that the world is going nuts right now? How much more does God need a church to be ready in haste to take the gospel? The phrase is related to a type of clothing worn in ancient times to keep from impeding the wearer during any vigorous activity. So you didn't want your clothing to disrupt you from fighting in the battle. So they would do something with their clothing, which I'm going to show you in a minute, but I'm just going to finish this footnote. The loose ends of the garment, they would take tunics, cloaks, mantles, had to be gathered up and tucked in the girdle. The girdle was a band about 6 inches wide, had fasteners in front. It was worn around the loins, the midsection between the body of the lower ribs and the hips, and was normally made of leather, the girdle was. It was also served as a kind of pocket or pouch that we used to carry personal items like a dagger, money, or other necessary things. Gird up your mind or up your heart are examples of variants of this phrase that call for a mental, spiritual preparation for the coming challenge. Then, in the same chapter, Exodus 12, that was verse 11, in verse 33, it says the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. Not only should we be ready as a church to move in haste, hurriedly, quickly, but the enemy, when he saw a powerful people, a people that were causing havoc to his kingdom in Egypt, he said, "Get these people out of here. They are a problem." In the time God is moving, we must move with Him without delay. At the same time of God's moving, our and God's enemies can do nothing to stop His will. Nothing. The will of God will be done in Agdow and Davao City. I believe the Lord has, in much prayer, prepared us to hasten in His will. I think all this prayer of what we've been doing at the end of last year, every week we have Friday night satellite groups, we have Sunday morning here, we now have dawn prayer Saturday mornings. There's an intensity in prayer that I think is becoming more normal to us. But what's becoming more normal for us is actually activating in heaven what God's been willing to release for a long period of time. Listen, there are some things that we will never receive from the Lord unless we partner with Him in place of prayer. Now we're in a season where we must hasten God's will on earth as it is in heaven. I believe God wants to build this Agdal Dream Center. When God gives vision, stirs hunger, strengthens unity, provides encouragement, and opens doors, we know that He is leading us. See, sometimes we try to figure out, God, what's your will? And we don't hear anything from God. But when you see the Lord making movement, when things are taking place and shifting, it doesn't mean that He's going to do everything for you in your life or do everything for us in our church ministries. But what it means is there's enough movement taking place that you and I should be convinced that the Spirit of God is among us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's power, there's authority, there's grace to move forward and to see God inhabit this property and this land and this community, because His ultimate goal is to inhabit those people out there. To not follow or deny the will of the Lord is to become selfish, isolated, or exclusive. God's will is not something that originates from our minds. We are called to agree with His will, not instruct God in His will. That's why we have to wait upon the Lord. That's why we need patience. We have been working in this area for over 20 years. And yet, we've seen little movement and opportunities to be able to make the greatest impact that we possibly can. We've done lots of evangelism. We've prayed over this area so many times. And God even brought all of you from Victoria Plaza here to help us. Because we can't do this alone. Nobody can do this. It's not about any person. It's not about anybody's burden or vision. It's about the will of God, that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Everything. You may not understand, you know, why Pastor Armin has a green thumb now. And why he's so, you know, intensely pursuing this food, but I believe there's a spirit of Joseph upon his life. I believe there's things that are driving him that is not for his own self-promotion, but it's for the kingdom, not only to the Gentile, but to the Jew first. There is impact. There are things that are happening so quickly around us that we have to keep in step with the Spirit. We've been praying for open doors for Japan. It's costing us a good amount of money to go to Japan, and this has turned into the most expensive trip we've ever taken to Japan in all the years that we've gone since 2004. And I'm thinking, Lord, we need a breakthrough here financially. Somebody sent me an email last night and said, we're going to pay for the rest of your tickets. I mean, I haven't talked to this person in probably a year and a half. And then out of nowhere, they say, we heard you're going to Japan. We want to help. And then, boom. Friend, if I could tell you the weekly, daily, monthly financial breakthroughs that we have seen just this year, you would be shocked. Because it's coming from places and people and situations that I would have never thought. There's things that God's doing that are ridiculous to the flesh, but normal to the Spirit. God is moving among us. I want you to understand this. Why is this so important, Eric? Because I believe the Lord's asking us to make haste, to align with Him in His will, and to not lag behind. I don't want anybody to just, please don't just come to the church for the excitement. Engage yourself. Don't just come for the awesome worship team we have, or the good preaching and teaching we have, or for the events and programs. I love that we're playing volleyball, badminton, basketball, having fun. People are meeting on campuses and all the works that are going on. But friend, let your motivation not be to just get something every time you go there, but to give something. God's will is not something that originates from our mind. We don't instruct Him in His will. As we seek what God's will is, we will need to adjust our lives to according to His will. You remember when the Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land and said, we could take the giants. That we know the fruit is huge. The mangoes are like this, and the durian, it doesn't matter, it's too small. We're telling you we could take the land. And then there were other spies that saw the giants in the land. They didn't focus on the fruit. And what happened? They came back and said, we can't do it. So they didn't go into the promised land when they could have. And because they didn't go in when God was moving, what happened? They wandered. I believe there's a responsibility that's falling on the shoulders of everybody in this church. It's not a burden. It's not a heaviness of expectation. I'm not asking one person over here to do what somebody else is doing. I don't know what God is going to ask you to do. I don't know what He's asking you to do now. But what I know He's calling us to is to quickly get up and follow Him. It also means some things we think are God's will may not be God's will. Not everything is God's will. But we will have a plan, but God will ordain our steps. Amen? So if you are the type of person who says, well, I just walk by faith. I don't need a budget. Well, then when your money dries up because you don't steward it correctly, but you expect God to drop a bomb of money every time you need it, that's not how God rewards faithfulness. And so, yes, God wants to bring supernatural breakthroughs when you need it, but He also wants us to handle what He gives us, no matter how much or how little it is, to be faithful. And through faithfulness is how He develops us to be entrusted with things that are beyond our capability. It's also God's school of ministry to help you to fulfill God's plan and will for your life. If you want to do something great for Jesus, start small. Do something when nobody else is looking. Take a step of faith that's going to cost you something. I had somebody tell me last night they feel like God's calling them to fire school of ministry, and I love that. And this person's been in our community for a while. You, maybe some of you are called to fire school of ministry. Maybe some of you are called to something else. I have no idea what it is. But if you're not taking steps of faith and trusting God, but you want to know the will of God for your life, it's going to be very difficult for you. And you'll become competitive. And you'll look at other people and say, why is God blessing them and not blessing me? Well, go back to the last time that God asked you to take a step of faith and go obey. And then when you do, you'll see the hand of God come, break through, build testimony in and through your life. And you won't have to look at other people and wish you were like them. You can learn from them. And then you can also teach something to others. Determining what the will of God is will be initiated by God, sustained by love, disciplined in us, and encouraged, warned with deep conviction. This is what God is going to do to help bring His will to pass in our lives. To participate in the sovereign will of God. That means God is in control. Even when it seems like things are not in control, He is absolutely in control. And we cannot change the sovereignty of God, but we can partner with the will of God. To participate in His sovereign will, we have to, number one, agree with His word, listen to the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, and become unified as a body. There's no reason why we cannot do that. It depends on our personal willingness and responsibility to be crucified with Christ. Because the moment you're crucified with Christ, you become one with the body of Christ. And Luke 12:35-38. It's the faithful servant and the evil servant is the title. But Jesus is speaking. And listen, He says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. When He will return from the wedding, that when He comes and knocks, they may open to Him immediately. This is talking about the second coming of Jesus. But let me also say, if we want God to come in the midst of our community to rip open the heavens and come down, this applies also to one girding themselves, hastening for the time and being expectant for the time of the Lord to be revealed among us. I'm not only living for the second coming of Jesus, I'm living for Jesus coming right now. Amen. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when He comes, will find them watching, looking for Him. Diligent, right? Assuredly, I say to you that He will gird Himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. In other words, when the Lord comes, are we going to be looking for Him? I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. And if He should come in the second watch or come in the third watch, He's talking about the morning, afternoon, and evening times. Or come in a third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. But know this, that the master of the house, if he had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. You know why most of the church doesn't see revival and don't see breakthroughs? Is because they don't expect anything from God. They go through their religious duty and systems. They do the same thing day after day, week after week, but they have no waiting upon the Lord. They have no trusting Him to fulfill His word and no expectation. Is that the type of people you want praying for you when you're sick? No. No, if we're seeing breakthroughs, and we are seeing breakthroughs every week, if you're on the 24/7 prayer chat, you're hearing about things that people are asking prayer for, but also praise reports of what's happening in this community on a weekly basis. And I love the fire. I love the authentic ministry taking place. I love the passion on people's hearts. Casey said this morning that when somebody told her that coming to prayer today before the service, there were young people here at what time? 6 a.m. They're waiting to meet with God. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. And we have to, I'm not saying that if you were here at prayer or not. Listen, what I'm communicating is there are people waiting for Christians to get on fire. Amen. And to not make excuses or say it's the pastor's job. No, the only job of the leadership of any church body is to equip the church for ministry, not do everything for them. And this is why churches get so boring. It's because nobody wants to do anything because they don't feel like they're as qualified or knowledgeable as the leaders. And the leaders set themselves so far above the people that the people just think, I can never be like that. Friend, God forbid that we would ever make you feel like that. Our goal, our desire is to meet with you where you are. And my hope is that whatever ceiling we establish becomes your floor. That's our passion. That's our desire. That's what we want to see. If I go to be with Jesus at some point and this ministry continues and Pastor Armin and all of us are gone from this earth and we're with Jesus one day, you know what? Things should continue not based on giftings. It should continue based on equippings. I'm almost done. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him as a portion with the unbelievers. There are people who call themselves Christians who don't lift a finger for anybody but themselves. Jesus says, greatest among you shall be servants. We've got to have our hand to the plow. We have to be diligent. And knowing that the Lord is coming back and knowing that the Lord wants to move us right now should inspire us to be ready in season and out of season, to quickly respond to the will of God, to not hold back from what the Lord wants to do in our midst because we get caught up in the flesh. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, much is required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. You know what this represents back here? Responsibility. I'm asking all of you, this leadership, to be responsible. What does that mean? We're going to need your help. Pastor, I don't know when Pastor Buddy sleeps. Yeah. But he should be sleeping and resting and at perfect peace all the time, especially if there's something that you and I can do to not make him have to be there to do it. Amen? I'm not rebuking anybody. I'm simply saying, I believe God's calling us to a place of being ready to serve him. Because I'm not going to lie to you, that's going to take a lot of work out there. And it's not just going to be because a bunch of money comes in and we just hire everybody else to do it. No, this is your church. This is your ministry. And I want to encourage you to be willing to come and serve. I know you work. I know you have responsibilities. And we're not asking you to be here 24/7. But there will be opportunities to serve. And I'm going to ask you to be willing to do so when those times come. I don't even know what it's going to look like. Let me finish up. The key verse was 35. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Let me show you what it means to gird your loins or gird your waist. Here's a picture of Pastor Buddy in his sleeping clothes. How to gird your loins. I looked this up online and there was a website. It was called The Art of Manliness. Yes! Come on, man. All the men go like this. Come on, come on, come on. Show your muscle, right? Come on. We're guys. When the girls preach, they can do their thing, but we're gonna, bam! Okay. How to gird up your loins or gird up your waist. Listen. Number one, the tunic that he is wearing wouldn't allow you to do heavy labor or fight in battle, necessitating the girding of one's loins. Number two, the way they do this is they first hoist up the tunic. I probably should have done like a demonstration today. I could have had, Renante do that part. But first you hoist up the tunic so that all the fabric is above your knees. This is what it means to gird your loins. This will give you mobility. You can't move like that, but like that with those nice legs there, you can. Number three, gather all the extra material in front of you so that the back of the tunic is snug against your backside. Once the excess fabric is gathered in front, you pull it underneath between your legs to your rear. This feels like a diaper. That's what it says. Diapers have been around a long time. Gather half of the material in each hand, bringing it back around to the front. Aren't you thankful for jeans? Finally, tie two handfuls of material together and you're all set for both battle and hard labor. Go forth, be ye men, and gird up your loins. Look at that guy. Look at the difference. See, the Lord is coming back for a church that looks like that. In fact, the Lord is looking for people here in Davao City who are in a state of readiness. They're hastening the will of God. They're not ignoring. They're not hoping somebody else takes initiative. They are leading the way. Throughout life, we must always hasten, be ready to hasten the will of God in season. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. In closing, what does it mean to gird up your loins? GotQuestions.org said this. What does it mean to gird up your loins? Similar words are also used in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scripture. In 1 Kings 18:46, to illustrate what Elijah did immediately prior to outrunning Ahab to Jezreel, he girded up his loins. In that culture, the loincloth hung down something like a slip along the robe, making it difficult to run. By wrapping or tying the loincloth in a robe, a person could run much more effectively. The same concept is communicated in Ephesians 6:14. As Paul explains, the armor of God includes girding of one's loins with truth. For Peter tells us, again, 1 Peter 1:13, to gird up the loins of your mind. To gird up the loins of your mind indicates that he intends for us to be prepared for action. In fact, the NASB translates the phrase in 1 Peter 1:13, prepare your minds for action. I believe we are being called to action. Amen? Yeah, we've always been called to action, but I believe there's a specific action prophetically that the Lord is speaking to us right now. There's a lot to do in between now and then. Between here and the promised land, there's a lot to deal with. Are you with me? We don't have time to wander. I believe what the Lord wants to do is going to happen quickly. I really do. I don't know how. It's going to take money. It's going to take energy, effort. But Jesus owns everything. Nothing is impossible for him. Amen? Stand with me. Come on. I want you to put your hands on your head and close your eyes with me. Lord, in season and out of season, would you prepare our minds for action? Lord, we want to gird up the loins of our mind. We want to be ready in season and out of season. God, we want to go when it's hot and dry or when it's rainy season. God, we want to go when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. Lord, when we are tired and when we're strengthened, when we have money, when we don't have money. God, when we're sick, when we're fighting. Lord, when there's hardships, when there's blessing, no matter what is going on in our lives, we want to be prepared. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you and to the work you're putting before us. When Nehemiah went back to the walls of Jerusalem and he saw them broken down, he wept. And the king saw, why are you weeping? And he told him his burden, and he funded the burden. He gave him grace. All Nehemiah needed was the heart of God. All Nehemiah needed was the Lord's love for the people of Jerusalem that God was calling him to go rebuild the wall for. And he went, and he had a hammer, a chisel in one hand, and he had a sword in another. And he and all the Jews went back and rebuilt the wall. They had opposition. They had, Lord, people tried to resist what you were doing. But God, they recognized that greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. Lord, we're asking you to rebuild the wall. Rebuild this community in a way that will be something that lasts for generations to come. Give us favor, Lord God. Come on, lift your hands with me. Lord, give us favor, God. Lord, we surrender our will to you today, Lord. It's not about anybody in this room except Jesus. Lord, we have all these young people coming, God, and we're so grateful for their lives. They're hungry, Lord, and we need something more to be able to train, to equip, and to bring in a greater harvest. Lord, I believe that you are pouring out your spirit among us even right now. And God, we want to be fruitful, and we're asking, Lord, that you would bless the works of our hands, Lord, and as even we give, as we pray, as we get dirty, as we do whatever it is that you ask us to do, Lord, we would do everything we do as unto you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to Revival Cry with Eric Miller. Please subscribe, rate, and write a review for this podcast on iTunes, cpnshows.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To find out more or partner with our missions work around the world, please visit us at revivalcry.org. I look forward to being with you next week.